Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Bez Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 613. Rav Shlomo Wolba wrote that a couple should approach marriage with the objective of obtaining total unity, to become one. V'hayu l'basar echad, to become one flesh. That means the prime goal of marriage is to create a certain inner unity, a kesher pnimi, that internally in your soul you really feel in a very strong, tangible way, that bond to your husband, to your wife, which when attained, really gives true simchas hachayim, that the Chazal talk about in Yevamos Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis, about all the shleimus that you have when you have a healthy marriage. And one of them is the simchas hachayim and other things listed there as well. You invest your heart, your soul, your energy into the marriage. But very often people don't think about what the real objective of it is. And some people, like, they invest their life savings into a business. They don't know what they're supposed to do with that money or how they're supposed to produce it. So the same thing over here. A couple may invest in marriage, but if they don't understand what the true meaning of becoming one is, they'll be missing in the essence of marriage and they'll lack a certain satisfaction, even if they work on it. The way the Chazai Nish puts it in some letters is that the relationship between a husband and a wife is like this, similar to two hands of a person integrally part of each other. And Rav Chaim Friedlander explains this concept, building on the Chazai Nish, is that you compare marriage to combining two metals to create, it could be created either by a bond or something called the alloy, A-L-L-O-Y. Bond is, even permanent bonding of two metals, is when you glue, for example, iron and copper together with industrial glue. The two metals become inseparable. But even though they're inseparable, they remain distinct. This is iron, this is copper, with their individual properties. An alloy, A-L-L-O-Y, on the other hand, is created by melting the metals together. So you melt the copper and iron in a furnace, and that results in a new entity with its own distinct properties. That you see the uniqueness of the two metals that you melted for this new entity, but you see it now as a one new flavored whole. So another way to put it is, the idea of bonding of two metals with industrial permanent glue, that's like 1 + 1 = 2 type of thing. Two individuals living together, sharing the same property, the same facilities, the same household chores. That is the idea of a bond. But an alloy of merging the two, melting them and becoming a new unit, is like 1/2 + 1/2 = 1. And just like the human body, any pain or discomfort experienced in one hand is immediately felt in the other hand. So too, when a part of a person's body is relieved of pain, the entire body feels that relief. Same thing with marriage. Each person, husband, wife, feeling the other's pain and happiness, as the famous story, well known by Ari Levine, that he once accompanied his wife to the doctor because she was experiencing unusual pain in one of her feet. And the doctor asked why they came. And Rabbi Arya said, my wife's foot is hurting us. That he actually felt her pain. So that is the idea. The idea is, let's say you're walking by a bakery and you're seeing a nice chocolate Danish or whatever it is that you see there, and you want to buy it and eat it for yourself, and that's what you do. You think of your wife or your husband. Would they enjoy it? It's like an automatic thought. And that is marriage. When you want to share pleasures with your wife, and that concept, when you start sharing all your pleasures and experiences with her, then that will change your life in a tremendous way. One of those aspects is recognizing your spouse's feelings and sharing your spouse's feelings. All the feelings, whether it's anxiety, frustration, failure, or success, happiness, or disappointment, ups and downs of life. A spouse comes home from a difficult day, the husband from Kailalo work, wife from also her work or shopping, whatever it is. And the other one sees what's bothering them, offering comfort, offering empathy, entering their world, instead of what many often we do is hardly notice and not paying attention to our husband or wife's pain. Or if a wife is extremely happy, she just heard that her best friend became engaged, or her best friend had her first child, and she's, or when she found an exact dress that she's looking for in a clothing sale, does her husband share in her simcha with that? Or does he think in his mind, she's overreacting as a woman and she's getting carried away with the good news or with the new clothing? No, you have to share in that simcha. Try to feel what she feels and participate in that simcha and recognize how important it is to her and give her that validation and empathy and share in that simcha and vice versa as well. When a husband comes home happy because he had successfully finished his learning quota or at work, does his wife feel that simcha too? Or when he had a very difficult day at work, does she feel that pain too? If one spouse feels the others is not noticing their feelings, so you really have to think it through. You know, it's kamayim leiv ha'panim, panel ha'panim kein leiv ha'adam la'adam, which is the pasuk in Mishlei, perek chav zayin, pasuk yutes, so important. Just like water reflects the person's image. If he smiles, his reflection smiles. The hearts of men are also to one another. In the same way that you relate to them, they'll relate to you. May not happen automatically, but over time, it certainly is the case. So when a husband and wife shows empathy, the empathy will come back at some point. But if they don't, then they won't receive that empathy when they sorely need it. Rav Shlomo Warbel added to this that including in the Torah's Tzivoy of Vahayu Labasa Echara, becoming one, is to be aware of one spouse's inner feelings, their aspirations, their concerns, that what gives them simcha, what causes them distress. And overall, there should be no secrets between the couple. There's some exceptions to the rule. For example, if other people confided in them their private matters, they cannot reveal that. You'll go up Hilchos Lashon Hara talks about what you can't reveal. And not to mention negative things about themselves even, or the misdeeds that they did in the past. Avigdor Miller used to talk about this a lot, especially things that are not patterns now. If things are problematic and patterns now, you may have to reveal it because it's a current problem, but not in the vein of going back through the past history. So Avigdor Miller said often, Bali Tshuva also have to be careful. They marry. They have to be careful not to be so open-hearted and tell their spouse of their past transgressions or improper behaviors of the past before they became more from. There's no purpose to that whatsoever. They moved on from their lives, they did tshuva or whatever they did to move on from it. There's no reason in sharing that in detail. Just causes agmas nefesh and it's behind them. What's the reason behind this? There's no reason. Or what difference does it make now if one's wife failed all her math courses? You know, I guess when you're doing homework, she could tell her husband, you know, I could help with other types of homework, but math is not my strong point. Okay, that you could say maybe. But the whole failure list of whatever it is, no reason to do that. So that's very important, because when a couple fights sometimes and in anger, they'll try to belittle their spouse and they blurt out reminders of the things they did wrong in the past, which besides he being hurtful, is also the isser of Einos Dvarim, and we're going to refer now to the Power of Words series where we talked a lot about Einos Dvarim. It's also important to always side with your wife or husband, support them. That's an application of the Chazai Nishis principle of right hand and left hand, where they were criticized by others, a neighbor, relative, whatever it is. Just like the pain of one's fingers felt by the entire body, the emotional of pain felt by a husband or wife who was embarrassed must be felt by the spouse. You know, and you have to be extremely tactful. Let's say you knew your husband and wife was wrong or they overreacted, okay? You still, even then, you know, you could ask Shilas about it, how to go about it, but you still, the first and primary mode is empathy for their feeling, even if they overreacted. You know, don't you know, you don't say, for example, you know, you touch the hot pot and then you break your finger Because it's your own fault. You burned yourself by touching the hot pot, so I'm going to punish you. Right? So that's what you're doing with your spouse when they feel criticized or you're accusing them of things. So it's very, very important to do that. You stand up for your loyalty. Rav Ignamel used to talk about this a lot. Loyalty. You stand up. You protect. You side with your spouse in a respectable manner. And even when they may have been wrong, there are ways to tactfully go through a process of explaining it in a tactful way without criticism, without accusations, and without embarrassment. The first reaction always has to be loyalty. There's a loyalty demanded of a husband and wife. I'm loyal to them and their feelings. They should relate that it's ours, not you and me, but ours. We had a whole book about you and me. There is an important part of individuality, so we're not going to exclude that from this. So as we learn, you always have to understand the paradox behind it. They're individual still. Even though we said the word alloy as being one, copper and iron melted together as a new entity, but there is, let's say, the copper and iron distinct, unique characteristics too. So we're not negating the individual as an individual, but overall, it is healthy to look at it themselves as one unit, their home as one unit, our home, our car, two halves of a whole, joint bank accounts. You know, you could ask, we could go into a different thing. There's certain times, certain situations where spouses mutually consent to have separate accounts for Meiser and or for individual things, whatever it is. And but the idea is there's a certain level of privacy also. You know, you don't just open up your spouse's mail or wallet or peep into their phones and snoop and all that stuff. If there's a suspicion of inappropriate things, that you could should ask a shayel eitza before you go start spying all over the place. But the idea, though, in a healthy marriage is the concept of the oneness there. And it needs effort and the goal to explain that. That's what the Vilna Gaon explains, that Hashem initially created Adam and Chava as a single unit and then separated them into couples. Why? So the Gra says it's because of the ability. That is the inborn ability to become one. This is on the Gra on Mishlei Perek Tes Pasuk Yud, that's why Hashem originally created Adam and Chava as one being and then separated them, which means like all of us, this is the same concept. We were one and we were separated, and now we have to get back to the one, and that gives us the ability to become one again. And then it's Siv furthermore said, in Bereishis, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Aleph, that the husband and wife has the ability to achieve a closer bond to each other than beyond what their parents could as parents, or to you and your parent, or you and your sibling. And the Torah instructs us to become one, then it's within our reach to become one. Rosh Shlomo Wolbo says that the Torah put into the very natures of husbands and wives the ability to totally bond with each other in mind, in body, and in soul, to connect in all these ways. Bracha v'atzlacha.